Welcome in. In this lesson, we're going to make an old-school drum and bass fill feel wider, more colorful, and properly VHS rave, without wrecking mono compatibility or smearing the groove. So we're not just making things big, we're making them feel like a moment, like the tape just opened up for a second before the drop slams back in. The vibe here is old jungle, old DNB, that slightly unstable stereo image you hear on rave tapes and worn-out dub recordings. Not modern hyper-wide EDM polish. More like gritty, hyped, a little hazy, and full of character. And because this is a mastering-focused approach, we're treating the fill as a short stereo event inside a finished track, not just as a sound design trick. We'll stay inside Ableton Live 12 and use stock devices only, so you can apply this right away. First, choose the fill material carefully. This matters more than people think. Start with something that already has rhythmic identity. That could be a chopped amen or think break variation, a snare roll with ghost notes, toms, rimshots, reverse hits, short percussion stabs, or a filtered breakbeat pattern. If the fill is too busy in the low end, simplify at first. Width works best when the fill is mostly snare, hats, top break detail, and texture layers. And here's a crucial mindset shift. Do not chase wide as the goal by itself. For this style, width only works when it feels like motion. If everything is evenly wide all the time, it stops feeling like old rave footage and starts sounding like a generic stereo enhancer. What we want is a fill that blooms, wobbles, and opens up for a moment. Now split the fill into two layers, a center layer and a width layer. The center layer is your anchor. Keep the kick, snare core, lower mids, and anything that needs to stay solid in mono in this lane. The width layer is where the fun happens. Top break detail, reverb tail, noisy hats, stab echoes, stereo texture. In Ableton, you can do this with separate buses, a return track setup, or by duplicating the fill if needed. The main idea is simple. Don't process everything the same way. That's a classic mistake. A mastering style approach gives you real control. On the width layer, open EQ8 and switch it to mid/side mode. This is where we start carving space intelligently. High pass the mid/side gently around 180 to 250 Hz, so the stereo layer doesn't carry low-end junk. Then, if you need more sparkle, add a slight shelf on the side somewhere around 4 to 10 kHz. If the fill gets cloudy, cut a little boxiness on the sides around 300 to 600 Hz. You want the stereo action living in the upper mids and highs, not in the bass. That's how you get old-school width without low-end smear. Next, put utility on that width layer and dial in some width, but stay tasteful. A good starting point is around 120 to 160%, depending on source. If the sample is already stereo, be more cautious. Maybe 110 to 130% is enough. The big rule here is that width should feel like a momentary enhancement, not a permanent gimmick. So automate it. Let the normal section sit close to 100 or 110%, then push the fill up to 130 or 160% and snap it back afterward. That contrast is what gives you that camera zoom, VHS flare energy. Now it's time to add color. This is where the fill starts to feel tape-worn and ravey instead of just wider. A great stock chain on the width bus is saturator, then glue compressor, then EQ8, then hybrid reverb or reverb, and finally utility. Start with saturator. Try a drive of +2 to +6 dB, with soft clip-on. If the fill is bright and brittle, saturation can turn it into a more smeared, tape-ish texture. If it's already dark, use less drive and let the ambience do more of the work. Then use glue compressor lightly. Attack around 10 to 30 milliseconds, release on auto or around 0.1 to 0.3 seconds, ratio a 2 to 1, and only 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction. We're gluing, not flattening. The transient still needs to speak. For the ambience, hybrid reverb is excellent here. Blend a little convolution with algorithmic reverb, maybe 20 to 40% convolution, and keep the decay fairly short, around 0.6 to 1.4 seconds. Pre-delay around 10 to 25 milliseconds helps keep the hit clear. Roll off the low end, maybe around 250 to 400 Hz, and tame the top with a high cut around 6 to 9 kHz. Add just a touch of modulation so it feels a little unstable, a little swirly, like cheap tape and a big room had a baby. If you want subtle movement, try auto pan before or after the reverb. Very slow rate, low amount, maybe 10 to 25%, and 180 degree phase for width movement. Be careful here. You want a gentle sway, not a seasick wobble. Think vibe, not gimmick. For extra VHS rave character, you can also add chorus ensemble or echo. Coruscant's sombre works nicely on hats, noise, and snare tails if used lightly. Keep the amount low, and the dry slash wet around 5-15%. Echo is often even better for DNB transitions. Try an eighth note or dotted eighth, with feedback around 10-25%, and filter the repeat so the echo doesn't eat the whole mix. High pass the delay around 300 Hz and low pass at around 6-8 kHz. If you want a more musical transition, send only certain hits into the echo rather than leaving it on constantly. Now, one of the most important parts, keep the low end mono and stable. This is non-negotiable in mastering. Even if the fill itself is wide, the low end must stay disciplined. On the center layer, keep the kick and snare punch centered. Use EQ8 to remove unnecessary rumble below 30-40 Hz, and avoid stereo widening on anything with body below about 150 Hz. If the fill is making the master jump, look for too much low mid-width, too much side reverb, or saturation that's pumping the stereo bus too hard. This is where automation becomes the secret weapon. A wide fill should feel like a phrase event. Automate utility width, reverb amount, saturator drive, maybe even a slight side shelf boost, and an echo send if you're using one. A really effective shape is this. Over the last one or two bars before the drop, start with a small width increase and light ambience, then widen more and add more saturation as you get closer. Then throw a short echo or tail on the final quarter bar, and then, on the drop, snap everything back to dry and centered. That contrast makes the drop feel bigger, because the ear just experienced a temporary open-up. Always check mono after you widen. This is a huge habit to build. Put utility on the master temporarily and hit mono. Listen for the snare weakening, hats disappearing, the fill turning hollow, or the bass energy vanishing. If the fill collapses too much, reduce width, reduce chorus and phase effects, move more energy back to the center, and make the reverb less aggressive. The rule is simple. If it sounds huge only in stereo but dies in mono, it's too dependent on cancellation. If this is part of your mastering pass or pre-master shaping, it's smart to check the limiter too. Drop a limiter on the master for a moment and see if the fill triggers too much gain reduction. If it does, back off the saturation, reduce the reverb tail, trim any side boosts, or tame the transient spikes in the fill itself. Indeed, NB, fills often get punished by limiters because they create dense, bright bursts. So keep them controlled. Let's talk arrangement, because the stereo treatment only hits hard if the arrangement supports it. The best placements are usually every 8 bars for a subtle widened fill, every 16 bars for a bigger turn, and especially right before the drop. A really strong move is to start the fill narrow, then gradually widen it over the last 2 bars, add more noise and reverb on the final half bar, and then cut everything sharply on the downbeat. That's pure rave language. A few common mistakes to avoid. First, widening the sob or kick. That's the fastest way to lose punch and phase stability. Second, overusing chorus or stereo enhancers so the fill turns soft and blurry. Third, making the fill louder instead of wider. Bigger doesn't always mean louder. Often it means more contrast, more texture, more motion. Fourth, drowning the groove in reverb so the rhythm stops reading. And fifth, ignoring mono. A fill that only works in stereo won't translate properly in the real world. If you want darker or heavier results, keep the width darker, not brighter. Widen the texture and air, not the snare body. You can also try parallel distortion on the width layer using roar or saturator. Band limit the duplicate, distort it, and blend it quietly under the clean center. That gives you grime without losing the anchor. Filter delay throws work great too, especially with a low pass around 5-7 kHz and a high pass around 250-350 Hz. That creates a dirty little rave tail without clutter. Here's a quick practice exercise. Build a 1-bar fill that only becomes wide and VHS colored in the final half bar. Pick a chopped break fill with snares, hats, and a small crash. Split it into center and width layers. On the width layer, high pass below 200 Hz. Widen it to around 140%, add saturator with about 3 dB of drive, and use hybrid reverb with a short decay. Automate the width from about 105-140%, the reverb from about 8-20%, and the saturator drive from around plus 1-3 dB. Then check the master in mono. If it collapses, reduce side reverb and move more snare energy to the center. Render it and compare the dry version, the widened version, and the mono test. The big takeaway is this. You're not just making a fill sound bigger. You're making it feel like a broken, glowing stereo event that opens up for a second and then snaps the track back into focus. That's what gives old school DNB and jungle that VHS rave feeling. Controlled degradation, tasteful width, strong center, and smart automation. That's the move. If you want, I can also turn this into a full Ableton device chain with exact macro assignments and automation targets.